The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today
FM. Let's start with the big event overnight, the TV debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And it was extraordinary. It was extraordinary in many regards. A dismal performance by the incumbent, Joe Biden. I think even his most loyal supporters would have to agree with that. The only exception being his wife, Jill, and her attempt to big up his performance in a rally afterwards. It was dreadful. And we'll get to that in a second. And also Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump may have been coherent, but what he had to say displayed his usual malignant narcissism and his unfitness to hold high office. It was a dreadful night for American politics. And our first guest, Marion McKeown, US correspondent for the Business Post. Was it enough to persuade the Democratic Party that enough is enough? This man cannot stand for re-election. That if there's to be any hope of stopping Donald Trump, a different candidate has to be run.
Well, you know, you would think so, Matt, but I'm not entirely convinced. I think that there is panic, undeniably, in the Democratic Party today, and there was panic last night, and there were senior Democrats and you know, prominent Democrats like Claire McCaskill, who are close to Biden, who are very much, you know, part of the moderate party wing, and they were saying that donors are freaking out and people are freaking out generally. But I think that what the White House will think, Biden has this thing that no matter how hard you punch him, no matter how hard he goes down, he always gets back up again. And I don't think the only person who can decide to basically throw in the towel here is Joe Biden. He has all the delegates he needs and more, a lot more, to win the nomination. So for him to step down, he would have to basically turn up, say, okay, I'm giving my delegates to somebody else after they're counted, and then it becomes a free-for-all probably at the convention, or indeed afterwards he could say I've changed my mind, and then the DNC could pick the successor. But look, I don't know. I mean, you have people like John Fetterman coming out saying, you know, everybody calm down, I was a disaster, which he was during his debate. He had suffered a stroke and he got his words mixed up, etc. But the fact is that this is the president, this isn't a member of the Senate, and I think as you say, it was an extraordinarily poor night for Biden. If you look at the transcripts, he did get some points across, but he was
Marion, who looks
camera, and he mumbled, and he, you know, he just seemed far too old and incapable for the job. And I think people could have reasonably asked, will he even be able to make it through into November?
Exactly.
Another 4 years.
That's exactly, you know, what I was thinking, Marion. Is this guy even capable of doing the job now, let alone for the next 4 years? And let's just hear an example for those who may not have actually heard it. Let's just hear a little bit early in the debate as he confused Medicaid with COVID.
That $2 trillion tax cut benefited the very wealthy. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24%, 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 billion, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare because all of these people are coming in. They're putting them on Medicare. They're putting them on Social Security. They're going to destroy Social Security. This man is going to single-handedly destroy Social Security.
Okay, as one listener says, if Joe Biden doesn't step aside now, it would seem he's just as many sycophants in his inner circle as Trump has. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer, University of Galway, political correspondent with thejournal.ie. Is it also a case that we go on about the malignant narcissism of Donald Trump, but that Joe Biden's own ego is preventing him from doing what is necessary for the United States of America?
I think there is something to that, Matt. I mean, look, Joe Biden's one task last night in that debate was to try to dispel the doubts that the vast majority of Americans already had about his age and his capacity to do the job. Instead, he only confirmed them, and he confirmed them in a huge way. I understand that he had a cold and he might have been sick, but this was a guy who was holed up for a week preparing for this debate, and that was the best that he could do. It was not comparable to anything else. It was easily, since televised television presidential debates in the United States, it was easily the worst performance that has ever happened. And in my view, there is almost no way to come back from that. Donald Trump immediately assembled an ad that wasn't doctored, it wasn't videoed, because I watched every second of that debate. And all it was 90 seconds of Biden's weak moments in that debate. It's extremely damning. I do not see how Joe Biden can credibly continue with his campaign for president of the United States. This is not John Fetterman having an off night, or indeed Ronald Reagan having an off night in 1984. This was an absolute catastrophe. And Democrats, behind closed doors and increasingly publicly, they recognize this, and they recognize that they're in a terrible situation. But here's the real problem, Matt. Everybody knew that this was going to be a huge problem, and they let it happen. They let Biden and his team use the power of incumbency to swat away all of the reasonably good challengers who were there, to close the door, to close the path to all of them. And here we are at this very late stage where Democrats are at absolute panic stations. And if anyone believes that in this election, democracy and all sorts of different things are on the line, not just for the United States, but for the rest of the world, we've arrived at this point. There's an awful lot of blame to go around. Of course, that starts with Joe Biden and his inner circle. But within the Democratic National Committee and within the Democratic circles, there is an awful lot of fault to be found.
Another listener says the debate was god-awful altogether. 90 minutes of my life I won't ever get back. Both candidates rambled on, delivering nothing at all. Winners. No one won. America lost. When it comes to mistakes, another one that Biden made very early on, we started boasting of creating 15,000 jobs when he meant 15 million. Let's hear a little bit more of this car crash debate, where they got a question about childcare turned into an argument about who was the worst president ever.
If he wins this election, our country doesn't have a chance, not even a chance, of coming out of this rut. We probably won't have a country left anymore. That's how bad it is. He is the worst in history by far.
Thank you, President Trump. President Biden?
We're the most admired country in the world. We're the United States of America. There's nothing beyond our capacity. We have the finest military in the history of the world, the finest in the history of the world. No one thinks we're weak. No one wants to screw around with us. Nobody, number one. Number two, the idea that we're talking about worst presidents. I wasn't joking. Look it up. Go online. 159 or 58, don't hold me the exact number, presidential historians, they had meetings and they voted who's the worst president in American history, one through best to worst. They said he was the worst in all of American history. That's a fact. That's not conjecture. He can argue they're wrong, but that's what they voted.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump, the question was about what would you do to make child care more affordable, if you want to take your minute.
Just so you understand, we have polling, we have other things that do, they rate him the worst. Because what he's done is so bad. And they rate me, I'll show you, I will show you. And they rate me one of the best, okay?
The lack of fact-checking, Marion, was a very contentious issue in retrospect, because Donald Trump told at least 30 major lies throughout this 90 minutes and loads of other wild claims that bear no substantiation. Why did CNN not fact-check him?
You know, this is a question, and this was something that a lot of people have been talking about here. The CNN moderators made a decision in the format that they would not be, their job was not to fact check, that their job was basically to just, you know, ask the questions and let the candidates fact check each other. Now, if it was up to Biden to fact check Trump, he did an absolutely dismal job. Yes, he did say several times that he lied, etc. But there was no fact checking. There was no correcting the absolute falsehoods that that he claims that he made with the truth. Things like when he said that he offered Nancy Pelosi 10,000 National Guard troops on January 6th and she turned him down. Like, you know, big things like that and small things. Trump just lied his whole way through the debate. But where I do fault the moderators really as well is some of the questions. To me, it was unfathomable that Donald Trump was not asked a former president who's running again about the indictments for stealing classified documents out of the White House. The whole, the fact that he has been indicted in four different criminal trials was almost glossed over. This is the first time you have a president who's a convicted felon, but also a president who's facing three further criminal trials, and one who threatened American national security by stealing documents after he left the White House. No mention of that at all. So I think that, yes, I agree what Larry said about Biden, etc. And it's a terrible look. But everyone knew exactly going in that Biden was going to be, you know, I mean, people thought, well, he might do a State of the Union. He might pull it out of the hat. And you know, the Trump team were almost trying to preempt that by saying he's going to be on drugs. He's going to be jacked up. Well, would that he were. But you know, I think that between the two of them, you got what you expected. They confirmed our prejudices on both sides. On Biden, in that he seems so mentally and physically diminished from 4 years ago that he really does not seem to be fit for another 4 years. And Trump really reinforced the view that he is so unlikable, that he is a pathological liar, and that he's a really vindictive man who has pretty much contempt for democracy. And the moderators did have to ask him three times if he would accept the results of the 2024 election. Even then, he equivocated on it.
So, yeah, and he also was very much equivocated on blaming people for what they did on January the 6th. And just another example, people are sending in text messages saying this is cringe listening, the debate from the US. So I apologise, this is for people who may not have already heard it, but this is one of the lowest points. Can you believe at one stage the two old fellas started arguing about who was the better golfer?
That I'm in very good health. I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way. And I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit light.
Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And well, by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8.
Never. I've seen your swing. I know your swing.
Let's not act like children.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Well, all of the focus, quite rightly, is on Joe Biden, somebody whose mental acuity we have discussed many times on this program in recent months. We have not been afraid to discuss it, and we have not been afraid to raise the issue of whether Joe Biden was fit for another 4 years. But there is a serious issue about whether Donald Trump is fit for office. Let's hear, for example, how he was asked to explain previous threats to get retribution on those he saw as his enemies.
Well, I said my retribution is going to be success. We're going to make this country successful again, because right now it's a failing nation. My retribution is going to be success. But when he talks about a convicted felon, his son is a convicted felon at a very high level. His son is convicted, going to be convicted probably numerous other times. Should have been convicted before, but his Justice Department let the statute of limitations lapse on the most important things. But he could be a convicted felon as soon as he gets out of office. Joe could be a convicted felon with all of the things that he's done. He's done horrible things. All of the death caused at the border, telling the Ukrainian people that we're going to want $1 billion or you change the prosecutor, otherwise you're not getting $1 billion. Have I ever said that? That's quid pro quo. That we're not going to do anything. We're not going to give you $1 billion unless you change your prosecutor, having to do with the son. This man is a criminal.
The idea that I did anything wrong relative to what you're talking about is outrageous. It's simply a lie, number one. Number two, the idea that you have a right to seek retribution against any American just because you're president is wrong. is simply wrong. No president's ever spoken like that before. No president in our history has spoken like that before.
Larry Donnelly, how important is that, this potential for Trump on regaining office, suddenly deciding to take retribution against those he believes to be his enemies, and even to fire many people on the basis that they won't give fealty and loyalty to him?
Of course, it's hugely dangerous and hugely worrying at every level imaginable. And that's why I say this election is so consequential. The problem is that Joe Biden just isn't effectively able to take that on and to articulate what a problem it is. And this comes back, Matt, in one sense to Donald Trump's two huge political strengths that nobody seems to be able to undo. The first is that, as exhibited there and many, many other times, it's almost a constant stream of verbal diarrhea, of non sequiturs, of outrageous statements and of outrageous comments that have no consequence whatsoever. Because politically speaking, again, we can talk about the real world and measuring sticks and all that sort of thing and what should happen. But in reality, Donald Trump just doesn't get held to the same account or isn't measured to the same way as other politicians. He is so resilient in the polls that it doesn't effectively matter what he says or what he does. And the second thing, which is a corollary point, is that he enjoys the undying, unwavering loyalty of a broad, and I should say this, ever-expanding swathe of the American electorate that is the envy of every politician of every ideological stripe around the world. The reality is that Donald Trump has taken the conservative movement, which was adrift in the time of Mitt Romney and John McCain and others, and he has solidified it. And he has grown it to include constituencies such as Latino Americans, African American males, and many others that are unlikely bedfellows. Yet Donald Trump has managed to do that. And in against all of that, the Democrats just haven't come up with an effective means of combating all of this. And I should say, especially in the context of a presidential election, which is not fought on the basis of the majority of American people, vote, and that's how it goes. But it is fought in the context of the Electoral College system. And that's why at this moment, it is very hard for me to see. Of course, things can change. But at this moment, Donald Trump is the odds-on favorite to be the next president of the United States. And whatever happens within the Democratic primary or party, whether Joe Biden stays on and limps on to the end, or whether there is a complicated process of replacing him, all things considered, especially after last night, Donald Trump is very likely to be the next president of the United States.
However, Marion McKeown, we are still months away from the election. So let me paint this hypothesis for you. The Democrats do the right thing and eject Joe Biden and find a replacement candidate. That would change things in that Trump's big issue is Biden isn't fit to be in office. He'd have to pivot and change entirely direction of his campaign, and it would allow a Democratic challenger to be able to put the emphasis on Trump's lack of suitability for returning to office. So if that was to happen, could it be that by the time we get to November, everything could change?
Oh, yeah. You know, undoubtedly, I really think that the American people now, I do understand what Larry just said about Trump picking up some voters from the Black and Latino communities, but I don't think it's enough. Trump has not got a broad appeal, and he's alienated huge swathes of the electorate. He's alienated women, certainly. He's alienated younger people, except for these sharp-suited guys, you know, who are modelling themselves on Stephen Miller and Jared Kushner. And I think that he would be a very vulnerable candidate. It was interesting to me, and I don't know if you saw it, that last night, poised and impeccable and ready for his close-up in the spin room was Gavin Newsom, the California governor, who looked like he had just been taken from central casting as the replacement, even as he was making a really strong and very articulate case for Democrats not to panic, to get over that Biden had only a weak start and they need to get behind him and redouble their efforts to get him re-elected. But I'm sure he knew, as everybody was looking at him thinking, you know, you'd be a pretty good replacement. I'm not sure that everybody would buy Newsom. He's a little bit too glib for some people's tastes, but he is certainly a very strong debater, and he's very articulate, and he could take on Trump.
I'm out of time. So, Larry, there is a big debate coming in September. It's unbelievable that the Democrats would allow Joe Biden to go into another debate with Donald Trump in September. But if they were to go to somebody else, who could it be? Would Gavin Newsom be the right person to win the swing states, given his California background? Or are there other Democrats who could come forward now at this stage? And I'm not talking about Kamala Harris either, because she would be regarded as part of the Biden campaign. Are there other people who could come forward and win this for the Democrats?
Gavin Newsom would be formidable, but he is not the answer in my view. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is the strongest candidate the Democrats could put forward. And that is because I believe this will be decided ultimately by blue-collar voters in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, and Wisconsin. And I believe that she is much better placed to win them over than the governor of California, which in the eyes of many in middle America is a failed state, some place that they don't have any grasp for or admiration for. I think Whitmer is at every level a better potential candidate than Gavin Newsom is.
Thank you very much, Larry Donnelly from University of Galway and political columnist with thejournal.ie. And Marion McKeown, looking forward to reading your material in the Business Post over the weekend.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.